We are the nation's number one talk station, 99.3 Nigeria Inc. For a very lovely morning to you, Lagos, Nigeria, wherever you are listening to us this morning. We want to bid you welcome to our broadcaster shows for another day here. It's another week, so we're going to start as we always do here on Nigeria Inc. Before we get into it, let me call on my hunters to be ready because we're about to go hunting again. You know, we hunt every Monday, Wednesday and Friday. So before we get into, serious conversation, let's do our hunting. Now, this is what you're going to look out for. You need to first go get our mobile app, our Nigeria Info mobile app. Once you get that, then go and look for, this is the operative word. Go and look for a clickable logo of the I Beg to Differ students debate. Clickable. Not all the logos of I Beg to Differ on the website are clickable. So look for the clickable logo. Once you find it, click on it. Something will pop up, fill in your details and submit. Be the first to complete this process and you could just be the winner of 5,000 Naira today on the treasure hunt game on Nigeria Info's Morning Crossfire. Alrighty, so let's get started. Serious conversation right now. I'm sure you are aware, you know how expensive things have become in the country right now, because according to the Consumer Price Index for April, released by the MBS on the 16th of May, the headline inflation rate climbed to 16.8%. That was in April. The one released in July, we are 19.6% into inflation. How is this affecting you? In fact, how has this affected you? I think that's this, how to put it, because quite a number of people have been affected already. I have with me somebody that can do great justice to this conversation. He is no stranger. He's the founder, CEO of the Center for the Promotion of Private Enterprises, CPPE. He's an economist who has contributed immensely to the national economic discourse all around the country through his research-based analysis of policies of government over time as it affects the various sectors of the economy. I'm talking about Dr. Muda Yusuf, the immediate past Director General of the Lagos Chamber of Commerce and Industry, SCCI. Dr. Yusuf, good morning to you. Thank you for joining us again. Always answering our call. We want to say thank you to that.
Good morning. Thank you very much. My pleasure.
Yes, sir. Let's start with the 19.64% inflation for the country, the highest since 2005. Dr. Yusuf, please let us know what this means in layman's terms. Because they just hear these numbers, most people really may not understand this. What does it mean, 19.64?
Yeah, thank you. What it means is that we are comparing the price of goods and services today with the price of goods and services a year ago. So that is why we say it is year-on-year inflation rate. Mm. In other words, if you bought something for maybe 1,000 Naira last year, it has gone up by 19.64%, So exactly that is what it means, that the price has increased by 19.64% over 1 year. But the reality really is that the situation is much worse. I mean, if you approximate, let's even say it is 20%. So that means if you bought something for 1,000 last year, it should be 1,200, this year. But when you compare the reality of prices, it's actually much worse than that. Particularly if you take into account the basket of goods that consumers or Nigerians consume, particularly the average Nigerian. You are talking about food, you are talking about basic items like diesel, like gas.
Transportation, like, housing.
You know, those prices have gone up anywhere between 50 to 100%. In some cases, we are even talking of an increase of close to 200%. Take an example of diesel, for instance, or cooking gas. So the situation is even much worse than what this data is telling us. And we all know the impact of this. When your real income begins to collapse, when your purchasing power begins to weaken, We know the implication of this.
We'll get to the implication on both individual and the, you know, business community. But let's start with what are the causes of this? What caused this? Why are we here?
Well, there are quite a number of factors. We have factors that are global, that is, that are happening globally, which is impacting on our domestic prices. And we have factors that are domestic. Let me start with the global factor. The global factors, of course, is this Ukraine-Russian war.
Okay.
The impact it has had on commodity prices, particularly things like grains, things like flour, wheat, and all of that. Because of the disruption in supply from this axis, because they account for a major chunk of exports of these products, the disruptions that has been caused by the war has created a major supply problem, which has led to a very sharp increase in price. So that has affected bread, it has affected corn, maize, and it has also affected diesel and PMS, and of course the subsidy that comes with it.
Right.
So the challenges in Ukraine and Russia has caused part of the problem with respect to bread, with respect to diesel, to some extent even gas and PMS. But PMS, we are not feeling that much impact because of the subsidy.
The subsidy.
Yes. So those are the key external or global problem. Then we have the domestic problem. The domestic factors.
Okay.
The first is the exchange rate depreciation. You know what the currency depreciation has been.
Right.
In the last few months, it has gotten to a level that, of course, we have never seen in the history of this country. Even though we have the official exchange rate at around 420, 425, but the reality of the foreign exchange market and the exchange rate and the operating exchange rate in the market is the exchange rate is well over 600.
Wow.
And of course, that has had a major impact on production costs, on consumer prices, and all of that.
Who should be held responsible for this exchange rate issues? Because, Doctor, you know that this has been with us for a long time now.
Well, it has been with us for a long time, but it got worse in the last couple of months. The exchange rate factor is, you know, exchange rate is a price. And any price in the elementary economics is determined by the forces of demand and supply.
That's right.
So on the supply side, we have had a major shortfall in the supply of foreign exchange. First, we had the problem of oil theft, which has been happening at a very high scale, an incredible scale for that matter.
That's right. That's right.
Because it is amazing how people can come and steal crude and loaded in vessels.
That's right.
We are not talking of small boats now.
Mm-hmm.
In vessels and move it out of our territory. That is amazing. And even after the so-called onslaught, we just had a recent development where an oil tanker with Nigerian crude was arrested in Equatorial Guinea. It just happened just a few weeks ago.
That's right.
So it is amazing that kind of thing is. So that is affecting the supply of foreign exchange because the major source of our foreign exchange is actually this crude oil.
Right.
Then, of course, all the problem of vandalization and all of that, which is affecting investment in the oil and gas sector and oil production. So for that reason, we are not even able to meet our OPEC quota. That is one. Secondly, we typically have foreign exchange inflows from other sources which are non-oil. Things like the foreign direct investment, the foreign portfolio investment, the export proceeds, foreign exchange from the embassies, from the oil companies, from diaspora. These are other sources. And these sources also can be significant. But at the time, our diaspora remittance was well over 20 billion, close to 25 billion US dollars. The same thing with the FDI and foreign portfolio flows. But the major challenge with the non-oil inflow of Forex is the exchange rate policy. the forest policy has practically obstructed or impeded the inflow of the foreign exchange from these other sources. Because the extant policy is that if you are bringing in any foreign exchange into this economy, mm-hmm. you have to bring it in at the official rate, mm-hmm. which is 420, 425. Mm-hmm. And who will bring foreign exchange into this economy at that rate? Mm-hmm. When people know that you have multiple rates and you have very huge premium between the official window and the parallel market window.
Operating multiple rates, Dr. Yusuf, is it alien, in financial policies of governments all across the world, or it's a normal thing?
Well, it is not completely alien. But what we have here is unique or peculiar. Hmm. You could have 2-3 rates in some countries, some two. If you're buying by the roadside or from their roadside bureau, they change, you are buying the bank. Mm-hmm. But you don't have the kind of multiplicity of rates that sometimes you have up to 4, 5, 6, 7 in this market, okay. which is unusual. Secondly, and which is even the most disturbing, is the gap in the rates. Mm. Here we are talking of a premium of close to 60% or more. In other climes where these things happen, and even it's even recognized in economics, premium of 5-10%, because you are buying from different markets.
Right.
But our own is completely unusual, and it's very distortionary, and the big gap is also creating a lot of transparency problems, a lot of corruption problems in the foreign exchange market, particularly in the official window. And the level of corruption is incredible.
I was going to talk to you about the corruption part, because I mean we've talked about this over and over and over again on this show. I've heard so many angles to this forex issue. Some are saying it's connivance of the state. Some are saying that speculators are driving this gap that you just mentioned now. Exactly what do you think is responsible for it? The gap between foreign and official unofficial markets. The parallel
What is responsible is the fact that the CDN is fixing the rate. Mm. That is it. Administrative fixing of rate. And what that leads to is administrative allocation of the foreign exchange. It's discretionary allocation of foreign exchange. And once you have discretionary allocation, you are bound to have all manner of corrupt practices. Mm. Secondly, in economies, when you fix your price far below what you call the equilibrium rate, you create a major problem of scarcity. And once there's a problem of scarcity, you begin to ration. When you begin to ration, it's difficult to have an equitable way of rationing. So that is what is causing the problem. Imagine you have the privilege of moving $1 million from the official window to the parallel market window. Right away, without lifting a finger, you'll be making a profit of close to $200 million.
You're a rich person already.
Already, $200 million.
Without lifting a finger.
Yes, just because you have the connection to move it. And the reality is that these things are happening. And that is even crowding out those who legitimately need this foreign exchange for importation of raw materials, for importation of equipment, for, even look at what is happening to even the airlines.
That's right.
How can we get to a point where the airlines cannot move their money out? It's a major liquidity crisis that has been created. We are not talking about depreciation now. We are talking about the fact that you need $10,000. You need $5,000. You can walk into a bank, get it, and move on with your transaction. So this has completely disrupted our international trade process. It's a major problem for us as we speak. I mean, what impression do you want people to have about our country?
Right.
That investors come here, they do business here, and they can't take their money out.
They can't move their money out.
How do you want investors to come in? And yet we need this foreign exchange to come in. So the foreign exchange policy has done a lot of damage to this economy. Of course, people talk about global problem. It is global, but We have compounded the problem by our own domestic policies. And the foreign exchange policy is one major problem that you've had. So that is what has caused it.
So quite a number of people, Dr. Yusuf, will be wondering, you know, how this dollar conversation that we're having right now, you know, affect them. And I would love for you to please explain, because I mean, I'm sure you can break that down to the people out there. Like, they may not have dollar account, they may not even have dollar, but this is how it affects them. How does it affect the common man, this conversation of foreign exchange, scarcity, and the rest of them?
Well, first of all, although at least common people also fly. One easy example is what has happened to our airlines.
Mm.
Now, Emirates, with the fare from September, we no longer fly to this country.
Mm.
You know the implication of that, even for our informal sector, people that fly, they go to Dubai and
to go and buy goods, yes.
Then many of the airlines, as we speak, are no longer taking Naira. You have to go and look for dollars to pay them, because they said that their money is stuck here in Nigeria. Then we have a lot of SMEs who are travel agents.
Hmm.
You need to speak to them and see how they are lamenting about this, how this foreign exchange liquidity problem has affected them. Secondly, even if you go to the tomato seller in the market, if you ask them why things so costly, they will tell you that it's a dollar. The thing is that the exchange rate crisis has an economy-wide effect. It's caused across all sectors, because no matter what sector you operate in, you have one component or the other that is important. And because of this liquidity crisis, because, I mean, talk to even manufacturers. A manufacturer will make a request for $100,000. He will get an allocation of $5,000, $10,000. What is he going to do with it? We are not talking about the depreciation now. We are talking about liquidity. I mean, it is bad enough that something is expensive. Okay? If any product is expensive, if you have your money, you still go out there and buy it.
That's
if
right.
You have a proper market that functions.
That's right.
But here, you can't even get it. So it has disrupted production with manufacturers. It is creating a whole lot of corruption in the foreign exchange market. Talk to those who do transactions in foreign exchange markets. I'm happy that you also confirmed that you have heard a lot of stories about this.
That's right. That's right.
You prepare two checks. One official, one unofficial. I mean, that is how bad things have come.
We're going to talk more on the impact of this, Dr. Muda. We're not done with the local factors yet. We just talked about
the local factors. Let me go ahead.
Dr. Muda, before you go ahead, we're due for a break now. We'll take this short break. When we return from this break, I'll come to you, then we can go ahead with the local factors. Lagos, Nigeria, we are waiting for a brilliant ride this morning. Dr. Muda Yusuf is here, but we'll take this short break and we'll be back. Stay with us.
99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk. 99.3 Nigeria Info. This is Morning Crossfire on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Welcome back to the Morning Crossfire here on 99.3 Nigeria Info. Dr. Muda Yusuf is our guest this morning. We're discussing inflation. Dr. Muda Yusuf is the founder and CEO of the Center for the Promotion of Private Enterprise, CPPE. Dr. Yusuf, thank you again for joining us. Now, let's continue with the local factors.
Yes, additional factors apart from the FX issue, we have the factor of energy prices, which I think I have mentioned, the cost of diesel. Diesel cost affects cost of production, it affects cost of services across all sectors, and it also affects cost of transportation, because practically all these trucks that move goods, raw materials, food products across the country are running on diesel. So the cost of diesel, the cost of aviation fuel, we know what the flight cost is now. One-way flight to Abuja, sometimes 100,000, 80,000. that is affecting practically everybody. So all of these things have pass-through effects on inflation. Then we have the challenge of the CBN financing of fiscal deficits.
Okay.
Some call it ways and means. Some call it monetization of deficits. This is also a major driver of inflation because the CBN financing of deficit, the current estimate we have now, cumulative, is about 19 trillion. And that has very serious impact on money supply, which also have very significant impact on prices. In some other claims, CBN financing of deficits is regarded as inflation tax. In other words, if you want to tax your citizens, if you want to go around chasing them, you just print money or you get the CBN to provide the money. So it's inflation tax. So that, again, has a high inflationary effect. Of course, the CBN Act has a threshold to guide this, but this threshold has been violated to incredible levels. So that, of course, is an issue. Then we have the problem of insecurity.
Okay.
Food inflation is a major component of this inflation challenge that we are faced with. And the fact that many of our farmers could no longer go to the farms is also contributing to supply side shocks of inflation. Many of them are in IDP camps. They can't go to farm. They can't harvest their products. And from even the stories we hear, for those of them that are even able to go to farm, in some of these locations, the bandits or terrorists have taken over and even imposing taxes and things like that. Those are the stories that we hear about this. So those are the factors. I've addressed the global factors, which is around the Ukraine something. And these are essentially the domestic factors. So if you must deal with this problem, I think these are the areas you should be looking at, particularly those that are domestic.
Well, Dr. Yusuf, let's talk about the impact of this, you know, on MSMEs, even established companies. And at the same time, the impact of this on the average Nigerians. We can link both together. Once we're done with this, we'll now look at the solution to all of this. Let's start with the impact first businesses.
The impact first on the average Nigerian is that of food insecurity. We know how bad things are, especially with food inflation. The citizens are crying every day about the cost of food. I know what it means when a citizen or a human being cannot afford basic things of life, such as food. It's extremely bad, as we speak. It has turned many people, many otherwise decent people, to beggars, in quote. So there's a major problem of food insecurity. Go to many eateries and canteens now, all this eat or small. Hardly do people take protein anymore. Many people can no longer afford to take meat, fish, and all of that because these things has gone completely out of reach. So food security and hunger has worsened as a result of this, and this is also degenerating gradually into the problem of malnutrition. Then you have the problem of production costs. Generally, production costs have gone up, whether you are in production or you are in services. And because of this, profit margins have been affected. Because there's a limit to which you can pass on your additional cost to your customers. First, there's a problem of consumer resistance. Second, there's a problem of affordability. So increasingly, a lot of business people are bearing the brunt of this because they cannot pass on entirely these increases in cost. So it's affecting the profit margins. It's affecting capacity utilization. It's affecting even the capacity to retain jobs and to create jobs. There are many businesses that have decided to cut down on their staff because of these increases in cost. So a lot of businesses, many of them are packing up and all of that. So and because this thing is also creating some social tension. If you don't manage it well, we have seen examples in Sri Lanka, in Ghana, we have seen protests. Although we are not yet at that point, but we are on the brink. You know, any little trigger now can lead to a major social unrest.
Is it that we don't know what to do, Dr. Yusuf, or what exactly is the problem here? Do we know what to do, or we are just helpless? We can't do what's needful. What is our problem? How do we get out of this?
Well, for factors that are domestic, which we can call endogenous factors, we should be able to have some handle on it. For factors that are external, which are exogenous, that is probably out of our control. For those that are domestic, I think we need a better understanding at the level of the leadership of this country. Mm. And when I say leadership, it's not just only at the level of Buhari, at the leadership of the critical economic managers to know how to respond to this situation. I'm not seeing much of that. The issue of food inflation, exchange rate depreciation, all this distortion on the foreign exchange market, have not had any major response from government to admit that this is a major issue that needs to be addressed. We are not short of people who can provide ideas, even within government, even within the central bank. There are economies that are respected. But I'm not sure that we are engaging enough. I'm not sure that we are listening enough to people who understand these issues. The contribution of technocrats to economic management, I think, is very, very weak. It's very, very low. And people just run the economy based on sentiments and all of that. And don't forget, economics is a science, even though it's a social science.
Right.
And right. When something is a science, it means that you can easily predict the outcomes of any policy choice. That is the attributes of being a science. If you take a wrong policy, you can easily predict the outcome. So these things, if you look at it properly, if you look at the technical side of it, and we also recognize that managing an economy is something that is scientific to some extent, then we should be able to deal with that. But the technical input into policy-making process is extremely weak. Then again, there may be some vested interest in the status quo. Because if there is a vested interest, no matter what the citizens are feeling, if a small group of people are benefiting from it, you may not see a change. So I think it's a combination of not making the right policy choices, either out of ignorance or out of some self-interest.
So what do we need right now? What's that radical change that we need right now? I mean, we've said that, you know, we could do, you know, this and we could do that. At this moment now, like you said, we are on the precipice. We are right there at the brink. What's that radical change that we need right now to bring this country back?
Well, some of these things you can regard as immediate action that can be taken to bring some succor. Some are medium, some are long term. In terms of the immediate action that needs to be taken, is to quickly review our foreign exchange policy. Because foreign exchange is at the heart of international trade. It's at the heart of international flow of capital. If you don't get it right, a lot of things will go wrong, just as you are beginning to see. A lot of things are going wrong already. So it's a policy thing. Let the CBN, as much as possible, put an end to this administrative allocation of foreign exchange and expand the scope of the market. Because what I've seen so far is that the CBN doesn't believe in market economics. And this administrative allocation has clearly failed us as a nation. It has been fueling corruption. It has been creating a lot of distortions in the economy. So we should allow a bigger scope for the market in the foreign exchange space. Secondly, we need to move very quickly to look at how we can deploy our trade policy. Trade policy is about import and export. Let us identify some very sensitive items that are hurting the citizens and see how we can adjust some of our import duty, some of our tariffs, or even give some tax concessions to boost the production of food. We can have an engagement with all those who are in the food sector, for instance, food processing sectors, like those who are in flour mills, those who are, you know, things that are basic to the citizens, right, like pharmaceuticals.
Right.
Let us see how we can waive some of this import duty to get some immediate succor. We should tackle the issue of insecurity. The problem of insecurity is contributing to high the high food inflation.
Hmm.
So that is also a major issue. Then our refineries. We should get our refineries to work. Part of the biggest, you know, one of the biggest pressures that we are having on this economy today is the fact that we are importing petroleum products.
Hmm.
As an oil-producing country, it's a tragedy for us, I must say. It is the massive importation of petroleum products that is causing this high cost of diesel, high cost of aviation fuel, and all of that. Even though globally prices are rising, but if you are refining domestically, the situation will not be as bad as this. Of course, we can't blame this. This administration has part of the blame, but it's a cumulative problem.
That's right.
How can we, as an oil-producing country, we have been in oil business for over 60 years, and yet we don't have a functional refineries, we don't have investment in pipelines, we don't have investment in petrochemicals and all of that up till this point. And it's a policy problem that has driven us to this point. Most of the investors in the oil and gas sector, most of them have left the country because of problem of policy and because of problem of insecurity. Then we need to have a good handle on this oil theft.
Right.
We cannot have a country where people will be coming with super tankers and be loading our crude and be leaving our shores. It's unthinkable.
It is.
Even with the recent onslaught, just last week or so, one of our vessels was caught in Equatorial Guinea with stolen crude. And we are having stories from the Navy that they resisted arrest and all of that. I mean, how can that happen? So we should deal with the problem of oil theft so that at least we can have more earnings, foreign exchange from oil.
Right.
Practically all oil-producing countries are smiling now. We are the only odd country out.
It's disheartening. It's disheartening. Dr. Yusuf, we have to leave it here this morning. Thank you so, so much for joining this conversation. Dr. Muda Yusuf, the founder and CEO of the Center for the Promotion of Private Enterprise, CPPE. Dr. Yusuf, thank you again for joining us on the Crossfire. You have done justice to the topic. It's always a pleasure to have you here, sir. That's our show today. I hope we have all learned one or two things as regards inflation and how it affects you as a person. I will just take some comments from our social media right now. Let me see first and foremost if I have... Yes, we have a winner for the hunt already. Now, get ready. Let me announce the winner right now. The winner of the hunt for today is Honorable Ameneshi Peter Akko. Congratulations to you. You have won 5,000 naira. He's shouting right now. You've won 5,000 naira on the Crossfire Treasure Hunt. Okay? Right. So, I'm going to just quickly take some messages here before we go finally on the show today. So here we go with this one here that says, a responsible government will take action and not complain about the insecurity, crude oil, vandalization, corruption. Education is not your priority. For God's sake, take responsibility and act now before you take life out of us. Sammy from Ota, who sent that? Sammy, thank you, you know, for sharing that. Okay. All right. Let's take another one here. Let's go to Twitter and take a few thoughts on Twitter. This person is saying that he's enjoying Dr. Muda's analysis. Thank you. I'm glad that you found it really helpful. I'm really, really glad you did. Okay. I think I can take a few calls. Yeah. I think I can take like one or two calls on what Dr. Muda has said this morning. Perhaps we can do that before we eventually go. Let's see who is here. Good morning to you.
Good morning. Good morning, Sharif.
Yes, please. Good morning to you.
This is Pastor Ladipo.
You're welcome.
Sharif, I think with the analysis of Dr. Muda now,
right,
I would like you to take down some of his response.
Mm.
And anytime you have any of the presidential candidates in your studio there, ask them direct question, because I think the major challenge we have is this. People vying for this position, they don't have understanding of about these policies.
Okay.
That these policies are what drives the economy. So please take note of it.
Okay.
It's very important.
Okay.
Thank you and God bless Nigeria.
Thank you too. Thank you too. Let's take a few more. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Cherry.
Good morning to you.
Yeah, please. My name is Joseph.
You're welcome, Mr. Joseph.
If you employ me as an accountant or your MD, and I'm not delivering on that job, will you be patting me at the back and looking at me? This issue of a central bank governor,
yeah,
that is not delivering all this while for the past 7 years, and the president is looking at him.
Yeah,
I don't understand. Our air check drained. They cannot do any. I mean, they cannot make any policy that will make it to be favorable for the economy.
Right.
I don't really understand.
You think the central bank governor should have been let go?
Of course, yes.
Okay.
This is the only one that can handle that portfolio.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
We have a qualified economist in the country.
Yes, we do.
We have a qualified accountant in the country.
Yes, we do. Thank you. Thank you for sharing your thought. Let me go to WhatsApp and take some messages before we finally go. This person says, I do my business in Computer Village and the inflation is biting really hard. A laptop that sold for 60,000 naira in 2020 now sells for 150 naira now in 2022. Prices are skyrocketing and nothing is being done about it. My friend, this is the conversation we're having tomorrow, because this is a two-part conversation, right? So this is the part where analysts and experts will break things down for us, and we've done that, you know, today. Tomorrow, it will be your turn, you know, to tell us, you know, if you're a business person, how this has affected your business, the prices of your goods, the prices of your services, and why you have increased your services. Tomorrow will be time to share, you know, those thoughts with us. If you're also a father, a mother, or a breadwinner somewhere, we would want to hear from you as well as to how this has affected, you know, your household, really. So we're having that for you tomorrow. Today is for the experts to break things down. Okay. All right. I have to go now. I really must go. Let's meet again tomorrow morning at 5, where we start with the lead. After the lead, we'll take you through the papers as usual after the news at the top of the hour, and then we'll take sport and back again to the papers, and then our final conversation on the part two of what we did today. Many thanks to everybody. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Sheriff Quadri. Table Talk with Wemimo Adewuni is next. Lovely morning to you.
And I want to assume that you would run, because I want to give the listeners context for the conversation.
In 2019, you were running mate to Atiku Abubakar. What did you learn then that you will not repeat this time?
Yes, when is the president coming out to address us?
There's a few things. One, I have a burden and a passion for young people.
The fact that you have elected a man does not mean then you begin to order him around. The president will do whatever is good for the country at any given time.
Mr. Adesina, isn't the president responsible to the people?
What should the next president do to root out stakeholders who are complicit?
You fire those that need to be fired, they're fired.
It's looking like a brand new Chelsea, attacking with so much fluidity. Now, what can you say about that, Martin? I know you follow Chelsea quite closely.
I live close to the Chelsea training ground. That's what you mean by that. I'm not sure.